So for this, the third and final class on the land of Israel, looking at our sources, let us turn to page 13, and let's start with a pasuk from the Torah. This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verse 2, Devarim Yud Aleph. It says in the pasuk, there's something about the land of Israel that makes it not like the other lands in terms of hashgacha, in terms of how God relates to it as opposed to how God relates to other lands. And it says in the pasuk, Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha darashata tamid, the land the Lord your God is constantly scrutinizing all the time. Einei Hashem Elokecha ba, the eyes of God are constantly on it, mereshit hashana, from the beginning of the year, yad acharit hashana, until the end of the year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha, his maintenance of the land of Israel, is constant and direct. But doesn't Hashem create and control the entire world? Right? One would have thought. So how does this come as a contradiction to that? So it seems as though, from the Jewish sources, that the other countries are controlled through intermediaries, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a direct relationship with the land of Israel. Now, there are consequences to that. There are consequences that other lands, things may happen, and are allowed to continue to happen without too much, quote-unquote, interference, if you will, from Hashem. However, the land of Israel is different. Hashem is interested in everything that happens on it all the time. His eyes are on it from the start of the year to the end of the year. Stuff may happen in America. Stuff may happen in China. Hashem is aware, but Hashem's involvement is uniquely on the land of Israel as a constant. Let us have a look at the words of Rav Chaim Freilander, who talks about it, and he says, Hen emet, we know it is true, Sheni Hashem mishtotot b'chol aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are focused on the entire world. Hashem is not just interested in one country, he's interested in what happens in the entire world. It's not just the God of the land of Israel, he's God of everywhere. B'chol ofen, never mind, despite that, nevertheless, Be'eretz Yisrael, makirim et hashgacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the land of Israel has a special hashgacha. It's recognized, it is there, it is constant. B'tzura boletat mesha b'chus la'aretz, in a way that is different, it is more pronounced in the land of Israel. Shneimar, and he's going to quote our pasuk that we just did, page 13, you know. It says, Eretz asher Hashem lekecha darashata tamid, einei Hashem lekecha b'amrish hashana v'adachrit hashana. He is going to quote our piece. There you go. You're welcome. Turn over the page. Let's talk about something which is going to be very important for us as we go later into this course, starting after the holidays. We're going to talk about Mashiach. We're going to talk about Nevuah. What has Mashiach got to do with Nevuah, with prophecy? What has Mashiach got to do with prophecy? Somebody?
That's how we know Mashiach is
gonna be. Beautiful. Who comes before Mashiach?
Navi.
Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to announce, hey, Mashiach is here, Mashiach has come. Which means before Mashiach comes, prophecy has to return. I'm going to show you later on all of the incredible prophecies and sources that discuss the return of Nevuah, of prophecy to the Jewish people. Although the Jewish people are no longer a prophet organization, we will be, once again. We're going to see how Malachi the prophet, says not only are the great people going to prophesy, but your husbands and your wives and your children, everyone is going to have a level of prophecy, which is very much in line with the Jewish people after we left Mitzrayim in the Yam Suf and Har Sinai. There's going to be a return of prophecy. And we know that has to somehow predate. There are certain conditions we're going to see that must arise in order to have prophecy. One of them is you've got to be in Israel. Prophecy can only come to the prophet in the land of Israel. Now, there are a couple of exceptions where we see prophets giving prophecy outside of Israel. However, what's fascinating is that even those Nevi'im, when they prophesied, received their prophecy in Israel, then went chutz la'aretz, outside of Israel, in order to give of their prophecy. But prophecy is a unique relationship to the land of Israel. As the Ramban says, Navi mikir b'cha mechecha kamoni, a prophet from your midst, says Moshe Rabbeinu, from your brethren like me, right? Mikir b'cha, from your midst, l'mosh e'en nevoa el, Eretz Yisrael, says the Ramban, from your midst, means the midst of your people, from the midst of your homeland, that is the land of Israel. Prophecy is an Israel thing, which is why the land of Israel and all the signs and all the wonders pre-Messianic era are going to revolve around the land of Israel. First is Eretz HaKodesh, but it involves prophecy, and Mashiach himself is going to be a prophet as well. Right? So that's going to be important. And even before that, yes. So we know the action is going to have to happen in the land of Israel. Yes, Mishamsiyam. There were not a lot of non-Jewish prophets. There were non-Jewish prophets, absolutely. But that's not a contradiction to this. Hashem gives them prophecy. But for the Jewish people, prophecy comes from a different channel, what we say, or from Hashem. We know Bilam was a prophet as well. But the prophecy of Israel comes from... Could be something from me. The prophecy of Israel comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people only in the land of Israel. Okay? What? Yes?
What about like Moshe? Had
very, very good. So, the question is, one second, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the entire Jewish people in Har Sinai as well, also received. That's before we had the land of Israel. Once we had the land of Israel, things changed dramatically, and that became the lone station for that. We have seen with the base of Mikdash and the Mishkan. Okay, with the Mishkan before, once in Israel, you could not set up a Mishkan, a base of Mikdash outside of Israel. Once we entered into Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua, that was a game changer. That was a game changer. Okay? I'll just quote for you a piece of Ari Kaplan, whose derech I follow in this entire course, especially when it comes to Mashiach, because there's going to be a lot written on Mashiach. We're going to follow the course of Rabbi Ari Kaplan and his words. And he says in one of my favorite books of his, everyone heard of him, by the way? He was a Jewish writer who, I think, passed away in the 1980s, wrote a vast amount, died at a young age. And he has a handbook of Jewish thought. We're actually going to look at his pre-Messianic and Messianic era chapters in this course. We're going to have copies of that. And he says that prophecy requires, what is this connection of Nevuah to Eretz Yisrael? He says it works out perfectly because prophecy requires the highest degree of Kedusha, and that can only be in Eretz Yisrael, which is a holy land. As it says, Hashem will raise up your prophet in your midst, Mikir Becha, we just saw that. The implication is that Nevuah can only take place in the land of Israel when it is settled by the Israelites. Now that's another thing. You see, when a prophet gave prophecy, when a Navi gave Nevuah, he was channeling the people. It wasn't just a person who's randomly chosen to speak. He is the people. Hashem speaks through the Navi, through the prophet, through the people. You'll see many times great prophets were stopped prophesying, and that's because the people were not worthy. Right? The prophet is coming through the people. That's the way it used to work. It was to the people, but it was also through them. It was in their merit, and he was channeling their energy in order to give them the Nevuah. You'll see sometimes Yaakov couldn't prophesy at some points, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's because the Jewish people had sinned and it was removed, right? But the prophet didn't sin, the people did. So people look and they're, well, they weren't meriting it, right? And the answer is, well, that may be true, but it's also, it wasn't coming through because he needed them. You know what I'm saying? A leader leads the people because he feeds through the people. You hear? So we need something else. We need to have the majority of the Jewish people in the land as well. In order to have Nevuah, you need to have at least 50.01%, or whatever it is, 0.0001%, of the Jewish people in the land of Israel, not in the diaspora. 50 plus. What's fascinating, as we're going to see later on the course, is that we are at a unique point in Jewish history after 2,000 years of existence, Chutz La'aretz, where the majority of the Jewish people maybe reside in the land of Israel. I believe we're on the cusp of that, and that's a prerequisite for Nevuah. I believe we're on the cusp of that. We're getting very close to that turning point. I mean, how we got to this point is actually pretty depressing. It took a lot of assimilation in order to get to this point. It took a lot of anti-Semitism and difficulty in Russia and in Ethiopia and in France and all these other countries to shift us back there, sad to say. But at least the ultimate consequence of that will be the return of Nevuah. Fascinating. We are living in very unique times, ladies. This is supposed to take place in Israel when it's settled by the Israelites. A prophet can therefore only obtain his first revelation in the Holy Land. He can get later up. So that's his derech, and he uses the Rashi. It says it could be that he gets early ones there, but later ones he'll get outside. So you could have a Navi outside, but the first one has to come from the source, has to come from Eretz Yisrael. Okay?
Is Nevuah going to come first and then a short time later Mashiach comes? Or what's the
time scale? The time scale, I'm not sure. It could be a while before. It's going to take a little while before because there's a certain procedure to verify he is Mashiach. We need to have a Sanhedrin. There's a lot of stuff that's going to have to culminate in order for this to happen.
When the Navi comes, are we all going to go to Israel? Or are we going to go to
We'll discuss the return to the land of Israel when we get to Mashiach. We'll do more of it over there. There will be a mass return. Once Mashiach comes, there will be an option for every Jew to return to Eretz Yisrael. It's an opinion. Some say every Jew will be living there. It's going to take time to shift them all there.
How are you
going to
move out everyone else?
Planes and a lot of squishing through Ben Gurion.
No, I'm saying how are you going
to
kick them out?
Kick who out? They'll be those who reside there right now, the non-Jews. They're going to want to give it to us after a potential battle, but they're going to want to give it to us at that point. Okay, one of the great proofs that he is Mashiach, he's able to do that. A prophet, we're going to get there. A prophet can therefore only obtain his first revelation in Eretz Israel, provided it's absolutely necessary for the sake of Israel. So it's got to be for Israel. Even in such cases, however, the vision can be obtained in a secluded place, such as a valley or near a river, which is not contaminated by general populace. Okay? Plenty of that in Eretz Yisrael. And he carries on. Moreover, prophecy can only exist in Eretz Yisrael when inhabited by the majority of Israelites in the world. Therefore, when the majority of Israel refused to return to the Holy Land in time of Ezra, the land ceased to have that level of prophecy. Remember, when the Jews went back in to build the second base of Migdash after the whole Persian exile led by Ezra, the majority of the Jewish people did not go back in. That was a problem. Okay? Right? And therefore it ceased to exist. However, it will return in the Messianic age when, once again, the majority of the Jewish people will be in Eretz Yisrael. It's going to come back. Who's excited? Who wants to be a prophetess? Fabulous. Okay. A little bit.
Women are already... We already have
you are already a prophet.
Yeah,
yeah, of course you are, Mabruk. The holy Jewish woman. 100%. My wife's a prophet. She's like, I know you're going to mess up today. And she's right every time. She goes, I knew you to take out the garbage last time. I'm like, how did you know that? As I'm a Navia. She is fabulous. Okay, the last part we're going to skip because it's more messianic related. So I'm going to come back to it another time. We're not doing that right now. Come to that. That is the completion of our Eretz Yisrael chapter. And once again, let's tie it together. Why do we discuss the land of Israel at all? Let's put it back into context. We were discussing the whole relationship of HaGadosh Baruch Hu creating this world. Whereas the world is created in two parts, Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh. That's the Bet. Right? Why Hashem created the Torah with the letter Bet. Bereshit, two worlds were created. We said this world is Olam Asiyah, the world of action. What does action mean? We have to do mitzvot. Tarim is to the Jewish people. Happens to be half the mitzvot can only be kept in the land of Israel. So we investigated mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael and the importance of the land of Israel. And we said the Torah in Israel is more important to Torah. So we also did kosher, if you remember, right? But we chose Israel as the template of Kedushat HaAretz, okay? Holiness of land, okay? Are we all good? All righty.